Brethren, we're very happy to have Brother Todd Alexander with us, and he's going to speak to us tonight on the subject of your pure mind. Brother Alexander.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Brethren, it's great to be with you this evening, and it's very nice to be a part of that singing group. I love the children, and they had such sweet faces. Let's make sure that we uphold the standards of the truth and hand them over a harvest message that is applicable to their lives. They have such sweet faces, and they have blank tablets. We can write anything on their hearts that we want with the Lord's guidance. Let's make sure we do that. We'd love to thank you, the wonderful hospitality of the Los Angeles class, the brethren, the dinner before, the accommodations, and a wonderful fellowship that we've had at this convention. I've had some great fellowship experiences. Thank you, Los Angeles class. I hope some of you have had the opportunity to meet my friend, Brother Ralph and Sister Jean Lyman over here in the front row. This is the first time I've met them. I've talked to them on the phone, and Brother Peter Mora introduced us to them, and we've had some great reunions. So today's a great reunion time for us. Some of you know that Brother Paul Malley and I went to China last year. In fact, we just got back in the United States. At least I did. I got right off the plane and went to the Memorial Convention in Chicago. And a couple of things have happened since then. We've completed the translation of the second volume. That just happened 2 days ago. And that will be published in both Mandarin English, or original and simplified Chinese, by the end of this year. And so we really appreciate the prayers of the brethren on our behalf then, too. Well, Brother Michael Nakora asked me to pick the topic of my talk about 8 months ago, and so I did. And just finished the talk recently. The title is Your Pure Mind, and it's a topic of interest for me. I'd like to start off telling you about my little girl, Ellen. She's 18 years old, and she's going to college this fall. And I gave her a piece of advice. I gave her three rules to go to college. And the first rule and the second rule, I'll skip those and go straight to the third one. And the third one is become what you are meant to become. Become what you are meant to become. And that's the rule for my daughter Ellen, to prepare her mind to find her purpose. That's what I told her. College is to prepare your mind to find your purpose. I told her I'd like you to feel the power of living an enriched life without regrets. And I've encouraged her not to be careless. She's in a very big transition in her life, and my job as a father is to help her get prepared to face it. Now, her mission is to synthesize everything that she's learned so far in her life and embark on her search for significance and meaning. It's to embark on her search for significance and meaning. And in many ways, all of us in this room are in the same position as my daughter Ellen, no matter what stage we are in life. We are searching for our significance and meaning. And I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was, or Peter was, telling us in his admonition to the churches that were scattered throughout Galatia and Asia. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. This is the theme scripture for our thoughts today. And Peter says, and I don't like the King James either, so I'll read it out of the RVIC. The Apostle Peter says in verses 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, "This is now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you, and in both of them I stir up your sincere mind. I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that ye should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through the apostles. Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his presence? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Isn't this great advice to give a college-bound child? They can see the world doing the same thing around them. Now, the idea behind the phrase stir up, the stir up, the Apostle Peter says, I stir up your pure minds. And he was using this stir up as a metaphor. And it means to arouse the mind, to stir it up, and to render it active. Brethren, knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge alone is not enough for my daughter to go to college. She needs to be inspired. And the Apostle Peter was reminding the brethren of the love that burned in their hearts, the love, that the flame that he was stirring up in their hearts. Brethren, we need to feed ourselves with more than just knowledge during this troublous time. We need to feed our children with more than knowledge. We need to feed our children with more than just the knowledge of the holy or the harvest message. We need to inspire them. Like Brother Ernie said in his discourse, to inspire the zeal of our brethren. We need to find creative ways of inspiring the zeal of our brethren and to show them how to apply the truth in their lives and to give them insights. This is my job as a father for my daughter. And this is what I believe the Apostle Peter was telling us. He was stirring up our pure minds by a way of remembrance, by reminding us of what the apostles and the prophets stated in Jesus. Now, the word pure, when the Apostle Peter was stirring up the pure mind, the sincere mind of the brethren, that word has the thought of being judged by sunlight and being tested as genuine. Being judged by sunlight and being proven as genuine. And I think that's the way we look at our Christian experience, our Christian life. The sun that shines in us, the sun that shines in us comes after the sun that shines on us. If we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we can have an appropriate effect on our children. We can have an appropriate effect on the brethren. And that's what Peter's experience was. The sun that shined on him came before the sun that shined in him. Now, the thought of the mind, the pure mind, the sincere mind that the Apostle Peter was talking about, it has to do with deep thought and the proper exercise of the mind. And it's more than just the mind as a tool of thinking. It's the mind as a faculty of understanding. It's the mind as a faculty of feeling. And it's the mind as a faculty of desiring. Brethren, what do you feel? What do you desire? What do you understand about the harvest message? And how do you synthesize that information out of the scriptures and out of the volumes and bring it into your life and make it real? Make it real for yourself and make it real for the brethren. I appreciated one of the brethren. I'm not sure who it was. Maybe it was Brother Brent. He was talking about information, instruction, and information. Or inspiration. And in my line of work, one of the things that I do is I go into retail stores and I tell them what's wrong with their store. And I use a three-pronged process that is much like what Brother Brent was talking about. Because the customer comes into the retail store and the first thing that needs to happen is they should be inspired. As soon as they walk through the front door, they should be inspired. And I think that's a good analogy of what we should do for our children. I think that's a good analogy of what we should do for the brethren. I think that's a great analogy for what Peter, the Apostle Peter, was trying to do here. He was stirring up our pure mind by reminding us of the words of the prophets and the apostles. The second thing that a retail store needs to do is tell the customer where to go in the aisle. Where can they go find tape measures? Where can they go find hammers? And that's what we need to do to the brethren. First we inspire them, then we give them navigation, and then when they find the product, we have to have good information at the product level so that the customer is satisfied, they can get what they want, and they're satisfied, and they go out the store. And I think that's the same thing that the Apostle Peter is doing here. He's giving us inspiration, and he's giving us navigation, and then he's giving us information. The idea that of the mind, the word mind here in the scripture, it's the Greek word dianoia, and it has to do with the faculty that actually we have in our minds where the Holy Spirit is renewing us. It's the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Remember the scripture in Matthew 22:37 when Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Brethren, we have such a powerful power in our lives. And I am 48 years old now, and I haven't realized the power of the Holy Spirit as forcefully as I have in the last 2 years. I've lived with it since I was 19 years old, or shortly thereafter, but I've not felt its power as I have in the last couple of years. And I think that's an interesting concept. I'm not exactly sure why, but it's just a reality that I'm experiencing. The pastor says in reprint 465, he says that consecration includes our body, consecration includes our mind, consecration includes our influence, consecration includes our reputation, consecration includes our time, consecration includes our talents, and consecration includes our substance, our wherewithal, our resources, our ability to respond to the needs of the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. I think that's what the Apostle Peter was doing here. He was stirring up our pure minds. He was stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. And he was encouraging us to remember the truth that we learned as children and as young spirit-begotten children. He's encouraging us to remember the truth that inspired us at the beginning of our Christian walk. And that's what I'm trying to do with Ellen. We taught her the truth. We had Bible studies in the evenings. We took her to conventions and seminars, and now it's time for her to go out on her own. It's the same thing that the Apostle Peter is trying to do to us. You know, we really appreciate Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 15, and it's a great theme text for the convention. But to do it justice, let's read it again. Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The Apostle Paul is giving us a roadmap for what Peter is asking us to do. Peter's asking us, he's stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. He's asking us to do something, and the Apostle Paul is telling us how he did it. The Apostle Paul is saying, in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Brethren, everything that we do in life begins with a thought in our mind. Our actions begin with facts that we encounter in our life. And I believe that there's three things that happen before we take an action. The first thing that we do is we observe a fact. We observe a fact. We observe the fact that it's time for the meeting to start. We observe a fact that there's children up here ready to sing the opening hymn. We observe the fact of different things in our life. And what we do then is we tell ourselves a story about that fact. And fortunately, we have the scriptures, we have the words of the prophets, we have the words of the apostles, we have the words of Jesus, and we have the wonderful actions of the women of the New Testament. These are the stories that we tell ourselves about the facts. And then we have feelings about these stories that we learn. These feelings are not about the facts. These feelings are about the story that we've learned about the facts. And all of these three things happen before we do anything. The fourth thing we do is we take action. So the patterns, first we observe a fact, then we tell ourselves a story about the fact, then we have feelings about the story that we told ourselves or that we learned, and then we act on that story. And the Apostle Paul was going through all four of those steps in the scripture. He's saying, I press toward the mark. He's saying, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And the Apostle Peter was admonishing us to go back to the story, go back to the facts, go back to the facts of knowing about the Creator, go back to the stories that have been told to us through the prophets and the apostles. Stir up your pure minds. Stir up your sincere mind. Get those feelings going, and then act. I think the warning for us and the warning for our children that are going to college is to make sure that they tell themselves the right story about the facts. That's the problem with the world today. The world does not tell themselves the right story about the facts. But we know the right story, and it produces fabulous feelings in our heart that tell us to do the right thing, that tell us to go forth to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let me show you an example of the Apostle Paul and how he dealt with this very thing. It's Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. And you'll remember the story. I forget where they were, but the local people wanted to worship them as Mercury and Jupiter, the gods Mercury and Jupiter. And the Apostle Paul responded in Acts chapter 14, 15. He says, and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn away from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." What was happening is that the people observed Paul and Barnabas, and they told themselves a story that was wrong. They told themselves a story that these were Greek gods. But the Apostle Paul was redirecting that story. Brethren, our children are bombarded with all kinds of mythological stories out there in the world. We are bombarded with all kinds of attitudes and opinions through the media to an unprecedented level. Let's make sure that we listen to the Apostle Peter's admonition that we stir up our sincere mind to make sure that we understand the scriptures and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another interesting scripture is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. It says, it's right in our scripture text, isn't it? "Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts." We see this happening today, brethren. And the difficulty about living in this world today is that this can bleed over into the church very quickly. And we're not necessarily talking about sensual lusts. We're talking about lusts after walking after our own minds. The Apostle Peter is telling us to stir up our sincere minds, not to walk after our own lusts. He's warning us of this danger of these people walking after their own lusts. And I think that there's an important principle that I try to teach my children, and that's the difference between enjoyment and gratification, or enjoyment and pleasure. The world right now in our society is living off gratification. They are enjoying things that make them feel good. But we, on the other hand, I tell my daughter this, that we should go through it and concentrate on enjoying ourselves. Not working all the time, but enjoying ourselves. And when we are actually doing something constructively and feeding ourselves, rather than just having pleasure all of the time and using those resources to feed our gratification. And I think that there are four points to this feeling of enjoyment. And I get this kind of enjoyment. My brother and I, Tim Alexander, conduct a Friday night internet Bible study with the Japanese brethren. It's an hour and a half, and it happens every Friday night from 8:30 to 10, and it happens to be 8:30 to 10 the next morning in Japan. And at first, we've been doing this for 8 years, and at first it was a real chore. But we went through both the book of Matthew, the book of Mark. We went through the first volume, second volume, third volume, and now we're on page 54 of the fourth volume. And I got to tell you, that hour and a half goes by fast. Why does it go by so fast? Because I'm really enjoying myself. What I first started off doing as serving the brethren has turned into been such an enjoying experience. And I'm building my faith at the same time. And it's a powerful experience for me. The hour and a half goes by like lightning. And I've come up with four points that happen during these experiences where I'm really enjoying myself and building my faith. Number one, the goal is clear. The goal is clear. The goal is to teach, and the goal is to learn. The goal is to bury your nose in the Word and to wrestle with it. Number two, feedback is immediate. Well, you should hear the Japanese feedback. It's pretty immediate, and it's pretty wonderful. I won't go into the details, but one of the brethren always prays in Japanese, and it's always translated, and it just warms my heart. The third thing is that there's always a balance between opportunity and capacity. The Lord helps us do this, and the Lord provides the means for it. And then the fourth thing is that the concentration deepens. The concentration in our hearts deepens as we read the scriptures and summarize them for the Japanese people. And I thought of this experience in terms of some of the stories from the Old Testament. And I thought to myself, you know, Joseph, when he was in prison, he really found enjoyment in prison. Can you imagine being in prison and having an enjoying experience? He turned that experience from a downer or a negative into a positive. And we can do the same thing. We can take those experiences. I didn't get to go to the Friday night football games as much as I wanted to with my son when he was in high school. I didn't get to do the things on Friday night that some of the families were doing. Anyway, it was a really a fun experience. And I think that this is what we need to do for our children. We need to set our children up with the opportunities to have these 4 points of enjoyment, to have where their goals are clear, where the feedback for them is immediate, where we give them a balance between opportunity and capacity, and we give them opportunity to have their concentration deepens. And one of the things our ecclesia is working on is a global internet presentation for the children in college. And we're going to call it Bible Study College Connection, where we're going to do a global outreach to all of the Bible student children across the world. It's going to happen on Pacific Coast time every Sunday at 1:30 to 3. And the ecclesia has voted on several elders to participate in this. And we're looking forward to the Lord's blessing this opportunity to help our children have that touch with the brethren, even though they might be isolated away from home. And that leads us into our next scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. The Apostle Peter uses the same word, mind. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's a great concept. That's a great message for us to give our children. That's a great message for us to realize ourselves. Gird up the loins of our mind. Now, what does that mean? It means to strengthen the foundations of your mind. It means to get yourself ready for some heavy lifting. What do lifters use? Well, Brother Brent talked about a girdle and how that girdle would be love. Brethren, the Apostle Peter is telling us to get ready for heavy lifting. The heavy lifting that happens in the Romans 12:2 experiences of our life, that transformation process by the renewing of our mind that we're dedicated to. The transformation process that we are able to guide our children through as their mind is renewed from all of the trash that they experience in their worldly experience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, another admonition by Peter. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." This is out of the New International Version. "Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" The consecration that I made at 19 years old has been developed, and I've been guided through several experiences by the power of God's hand. I've tried to stay under that sanctifying thumb that the Lord has kept on my heart. I've tried to let him feel my heartbeat, and I've tried to be cleansed and refreshed by the water of the Word. And in this experience, I really appreciate a certain personal application of this message to the Laodicean church. I know this is a theme that's brought up, and I'd like to present to you another perspective on this. The city of Laodicea is on the south bank of the river Lycus, and it's about 100 feet above the valley floor on a flat plateau. About 10 miles away, there's a town called Colossae. And it's up in the mountains. It's in the mountains of Colossae. And it's where the brethren of Colossians were from. And Colossae was known for its fresh, sweet water springs. It was widely known for its refreshing drinking water. Now, about 10 miles in the other direction from the city of Laodicea was a town called Hierapolis. And it is known for its hot mineral springs. And these hot mineral springs are on the mountainside about 200 feet above Laodicea. And they happen to be about 10 miles in the other direction from where the sweet water springs of Colossae are. And these hot mineral springs are widely known for their medicinal uses. They're actually used today for revitalizing of tourists that go there just for that. And sometimes the tourists take that hot mineral water and drink a little bit of it to cure themselves of ills. Now, back in the day, Laodicea piped their water, their drinking water. They didn't get it from Colossae. They got it from a little town 5 miles away called Denizli. And in fact, Laodicea was so industrious that they actually built themselves a 5-mile aqueduct from these springs in Denizli. And that 5-mile trip of that water left the water lukewarm by the time it reached Laodicea. And we can take a look back on the archaeological digs and see these 5-inch calcified stone pipes that they used to pipe this water in. Now, Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake in 17 AD. And at that point, they asked the Roman Senate for funds to rebuild the city, and they did get it. But the city was again destroyed by an earthquake in 60 AD. And by that time, they were so self-sufficient in their technology and their making of fabrics that they had enough money to rebuild themselves. And they did not need to ask the Roman Senate for any money. They were prosperous in medical research, textile research, and manufacturing. I'm impressed with the way that the Lord used the local topography to teach parables. He used that in the vine and the branches. He used that in several of his parables. He not only did that with the local topography, but he did that with the rich man and Lazarus. He did that with poor Samaritan. Or the Good Samaritan. And I think it's possible that there is another application that we can learn from the message to the church of Laodicea. Brethren, we are that city of Laodicea. We are that city that's going to be destroyed by earthquakes. Let's make sure that when this city is destroyed by earthquake, that we are getting sweetly refreshed by the gospel. Let's not be satisfied with the waters from Denizli. Let's not be satisfied in our technology that we can pipe water through pipes all the way from 5 miles away. Let's go to the spring that Brother Ernie was talking about in Matthew 10:42, where it talks about, you give a cup of cold water to one of these, my little ones. Let's be refreshed by this cool, refreshing water of the gospel. And let's also make sure that we're cleansed by the hot water of the gospel. Let's make sure that our flesh is cleansed by it. And if we have to put a little bit of it in our bodies for health's sake, let's do that too. I like the Apostle Paul's statement to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Timothy uses the same phrase that Peter, or the Apostle Paul uses the same phrase that the Apostle Peter used when he said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, the putting on of my hands. Now this is a slightly different slant on that concept. It's to rekindle. It's to rekindle the embers. It's like in stoking a fire. And what the Apostle Paul was doing here, he was reminding Timothy that he walked differently because he knew the gospel. He was reminding Timothy that he walked differently now. Why? Because he was given the spiritual gift of prophecy. And I think one of the important things we should remember in our life, not only that we learn the gospel, but we use the gifts that we're given. That we use the gifts that we're given to develop a pure conscience. That we make our minds pure with conscious efforts. That we become what we were meant to become. Now, the way the Apostle Paul did this with Timothy is that he reminded Timothy of his heritage. He reminded Timothy of his mother, Lois, and grandmother, Eunice. And he also reminded him of his spiritual gift. The Apostle Paul helped Timothy regain his spark. We can do that to our children. How do we do that to our children? Well, we remind them of their gifts, but first we have to know what their gifts are. And this is one of my favorite things to do with my children. I love to observe them, and I like to test like a mad scientist in the laboratory. And with the Lord's help, I can help direct them in the right way. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul was doing with Timothy here. You know, the pastor talks about the Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to individuals to profit with all. And the pastor tells us that these are now, in our day and age, these are our gifts that we have as individuals, our abilities, and the things that we learn in our education and our training. One of my favorite things is to remind young people of what their gift is. But first I have to interrogate them a little bit to find out what it is. Some of you young people at this convention are probably realize that now that the questions that I've been asking you are because I'm interrogating you about your gift. And we have one young lady over here, Lauren Hislop, who is an artist. And what she can do is she can encapsulate very difficult concepts into graphic images. And that's a gift. And my job, just like the Apostle Paul, is to remind her of her gift. So, brethren, I ask you, what is your gift? And how are you developing your gift? We can use this method that the Apostle Paul used in Timothy's life. We can use this method to remind our young people that are floundering. Remind us if we're floundering. To look diligently into the hardware that the Lord has given us. That's the capacity of our minds, the gifts, the talents that we were born with. And usually to find out what somebody's gift is, I usually ask them what they are passionate about. And if I can find out what they're really passionate about, it normally leads me straight to their gift. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing to Timothy. He was helping him find his way. Now there's another scripture that I'd like to talk about. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We don't have much more time, but I'd like to go through this concept. It's 1 John 5, verse 20. And here the scripture says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Brethren, we're given such a wonderful opportunity here. But I'd like to concentrate on this word understanding. That, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. This understanding is not just knowledge, but it implies meaning also. It implies the ability to understand why the knowledge is significant in our life and to apply it to develop our lives. I think one of the main tasks that we have is to not only know the truth, but apply it in purposeful ways to develop a conscience in righteousness. And brethren, when we act in our daily life, when we do the right thing, when we try to live in the sanctifying power of God, what we're doing is we're acting out of our conscience. A lot of times in life, we don't necessarily think through our actions. But if we've developed a conscience in righteousness, then I think we'll be most of the way there. Because most of the time we act out of our conscience. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we should act out of our conscience. In fact, he says, if we violate our conscience, it is sin to us. But I'd like to remind you of something that we use in our daily life. You know, we always use words like, well, that rings true. Or we use another phrase, well, that feels right to me. And we use another one that says, I can see that. And what we're doing is we're relating our using metaphors of our physical senses. We have five physical senses, right? We have hearing, we have touch, we have sight, we have smell, and we have taste. And all of these metaphors that we use have a very powerful significance. How about this one? That left a bad taste in my mouth. How about this one? That doesn't pass the smell test. Well, brethren, I think that in summary of what the Apostle Peter is telling us and what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that both of them are telling us to train our spiritual senses. Both of them are telling us to develop our conscience and righteousness. And how do we do that? Well, we read the Scriptures, we listen to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and we apply these things in our life. We have spiritual senses that actually are correlated to our physical senses. I'm not sure what they are yet, but I know that they're there because I use them every day. We use our spiritual senses to evaluate and prioritize. We use our spiritual senses to evaluate and prioritize. I like to relate an experience that the apostle that we had over in China, and Brother Paul Malley might remember this. And we were sitting at a dinner in Jinan, China, and that afternoon we were told by our guide that we shouldn't be passing out first volumes that day because we were being watched by the Chinese Secret Service. And so we thought about it, and through a discussion, we decided not to pass them out. And lo and behold, at the lunch discussion, the man that was sitting next to me turned to me and said, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "No." He says, "I'm the head of the CPP here in China, or in Jinan." He says, "Do you know what that means?" with a big smile. I said, "Well, let me guess. Communist Party, or CC, Chinese Communist Party." Yes, he says, "I'm the head in this city." And it was a city of 2 million people. Well, brethren, it was a good thing that we weren't passing out first volumes, because it would have scuttled our mission and it would have maybe landed us in jail. But this experience with that tug of the Holy Spirit that worked through our guide that said, "You better not pass out first volumes today," that was one of the sparks that turned my faith into a consuming blaze. That was one of the sparks in my Christian experience that turned the Holy Spirit on fire in my heart. And I think the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul are teaching us how to do that. They're telling us, they're stirring up our pure minds. They're inspiring us. They're stoking the embers. They're giving us the credit to have a sincere mind. And they're telling us to remember what the words of the apostles, what the words of the prophets, what the examples of the people in the New Testament were. And they're asking us to keep our feet going in the right direction. One of the most difficult things in closing is to bring a principle out of the realm of thought. To bring a principle out of the realm of thought and put it in practice in your life. Sometimes we might need a structure in our life to do that. If you need rituals, brethren, then bring rituals into your life to put that structure. Turn off the television. Bury yourself in the book of Proverbs. Think about your favorite Old Testament character and then see how your life might be reflected in their life. Whether we're conscious of it or not, we're creating the world around us. And that world that we're creating is for better or for worse. Through our Christian experience, through the way that we walked in our sanctification, we are creating through our everyday thought process and our spontaneous actions. Brethren, let's take an example from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul lived his life every day by creating it. He stepped out on faith and watched the Lord to second the motion. The Apostle Paul wanted to do what God called him to do. And the Apostle Paul used his gifts, his unique abilities to create, to build, and to transform his life. Brethren, let's reclaim that right. Let's reclaim the right to build our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the words given us in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And let's do it right now. May God bless you.
Thank you very much, Brother Todd. Brethren, it's been a good day. I do have an important announcement. For any that might want to stay around and fellowship for a bit, they have refreshments in the cafeteria. They've got coffee, tea, and cookies and things like that. So if you'd like to stay, please avail yourselves of those things. Well, we're now going to ask Brother Bernard Hicks to read the Songs in the Night for us. He's our official Songs in the Night reader. That's right. May 24th, right there at the bottom.
May 24th. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalms 37, 23, 24. Our text presupposes that in the class described, the human will has been transformed, that the divine will has been accepted as reverse of this, that the Lord is our King. In harmony with his command, we will honor earthly kings and obey earthly laws in every particular in which they do not conflict with the divine law. But nevertheless, above earthly kings, our esteem, homage, and obedience must be to him whom the Lord has appointed, King Emmanuel. If he enthroned in our hearts, it will be comparatively easy for us to be loyal to him in our conduct and in our words, wherever we may be. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we confess him, he will also confess us before the Father and the holy angels. He will give us ultimately. Through us, as his church, his body, he will, accordingly to the original promise, bless all the families of the earth, which we, with him, will then inherit.
Thank you, my brother. Brethren, we'll close with the use of hymn 222, the first and the last verses, and then Brother Todd Alexander will close with prayer. Hymn 222, first and last. No, first and last.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be guided by your hand, to have the rock that we can fly to. Please give us the desire. Please give us the motivation. Please inspire us. Give us direction. We thank you for this in advance. We thank you for the words that you've given us through the apostles and the prophets. We thank you for the fabulous examples of the strong women of the Bible. We thank you for the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, of Sarah, of Ruth, of Naomi. We thank you for Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. We thank you for these wonderful examples. Help us to see ourselves as reflected in the lives and experiences of these faithful people of the past, and give us the insight and how to apply these experiences and actuate our gifts. Help us to edify each other by giving each other insights into the gifts that we have. We ask for strength, and we ask for energy in this wicked day. We thank you for all of these things, and we ask that you will please overrule anything that might have been said or done amiss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.